Welcome once again to Proclaiming the One. This is Pastor Clint Poppy. Along with me is Pastor Christopher Morundi, Vicar Lawson Short. We're here to examine the readings for this coming Sunday. And it just so happens that a minor festival falls on this coming Sunday, which is June 24th. Normally, we're kind of generic here. We don't mention a lot of dates and things. But June 24th is the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. And so today, since that minor festival falls on Sunday, we're going to take a break from looking at the traditional Sunday readings. We're going to be observing this at Good Shepherd this coming Sunday. And so we have a special treat for you today. The introit for the Nativity of St. John the Baptist is a combination of Luke 1 and Malachi 3. Now, Pastor, before I have Vicar read these words, it's very, very rare that the introit is not completely or mostly,
or in part at least,
from one of the Psalms. Yeah. What would be the reason why? Now, the antiphon, or the verse that's at the beginning, at the end, that's repeated, the antiphon is sometimes different text.
More often, yeah.
Maybe a psalm, but not necessarily. But what about the nature? We'll get a little bit of a head start on our gospel reading. What about the nature of Luke 1, especially the last verses of Luke 1? Zechariah's prophecy from 67 to 79. What is it about those particular words that make it ripe to be the subject of an introit?
Yeah, well, it's a song. It's an Old Testament song that Zechariah sings, and we'll of course dig into it a little bit when we get there. But Zechariah, a priest, Old Testament-y guy, a relic of the Old Testament, when he praises God for the gift of a son, which he knows is not just the gift of a son for him, but is there's more going on here than just that an old guy got a kid. This is cosmic. This is a part of God's plan of salvation. And so he speaks prophetically, and he speaks words that, while they are in the New Testament and have kind of that flavor, he is very much speaking the kinds of words that someone who grew up on the Psalms would say. So this is essentially a psalm, just a New Testament psalm, and it's informed by the language of salvation from the Old Testament. Now, the first part of Zechariah's song that's not in the introit is essentially a psalm of praise to the God of Israel, and uses tons of Old Testament images of salvation. And then the second half, John, you can kind of picture Zechariah holding his child, saying praises to God. Then he turns to his child and says these words that we have in the introit.
Okay. The ministry, the person and work of John the Baptist is something that we normally look at during the season of Advent. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of great Advent songs that bring us some John the Baptist imagery. So when we're looking at Advent, we're looking at the promises that God will send a Savior. We're looking at the specific promise to be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. We're looking at the promises that Christ will come again at the end of the age. All of this kind of mixed together. When we're talking about John the Baptist, are we talking primarily about a prophet of the Old Testament, or are we talking primarily about a prophet of the New Testament? Is he the last of the Old Testament prophets or the first of the New Testament prophets?
Yes. He is the hinge between the Old and the New Testaments. And actually, if you read, let's just say you start reading the New Testament with Mark, and Mark or Luke, what you have is, you end the Old Testament with Malachi, and we'll have a reading from Malachi 3 that talks about the messenger who is going to be sent before him. Malachi also, the very last two verses of the Old Testament, mention John the Baptist, our prophecy of John the Baptist. And then you turn that one little blank page in your Bible, and you turn that over, and you've turned about 450 years of history. And if you go straight to Mark or to Luke, there's John the Baptist.
I love that in the Gospel of Mark, where you start out, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and then all of a sudden you start talking about John the Baptist.
Yes.
it's just like, whoa, what happened
there? There's really, those 450 years are important, and we should study them, but it's almost as if they've never even happened. We go from the prophecy, and then, boom, right there, God's fulfilling it.
Awesome. Thanks for that little introduction there. And Vicar, would you do us the honor of reading the introit for the Nativity of St. John the Baptist?
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will send. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of his salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
We start out with that antiphon from Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Who's doing the talking here, Pastor?
Well, that's really the most important thing to understand with this verse. It's really a kind of a complicated verse. You've got several different characters. You've got God who's speaking, and he's going to send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before you. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. There are actually three characters here. And that's part of understanding this verse. So you have God who's speaking, you have a figure called my messenger, and you have a figure called the Lord whom you seek. And it seems to me most natural to take the Lord whom you seek is not the guy who's speaking, but is Jesus Christ,
the Son of God. So this is not talking about the two natures of Christ, who is true God and true man at the same time. There are some passages that are like that.
Yep.
The Psalm, you know, the Lord said to my Lord.
Yep.
You know, some of those kind of passages. This is specifically talking about a forerunner, a messenger, a real live human being who quite literally will prepare the way for the Lord.
Prepare the way for the Lord. The Lord whom you seek is the Messiah, the Christ, and the messenger is John the Baptist.
And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. What's going on there, Pastor?
Well, it's really quite literally fulfilled when Jesus shows up in the temple 40 days after his birth. It doesn't just mean that one event that day, though I think that's the main focus, but it is the fact that God has come down and is making his dwelling among men.
God has come down, he's making his dwelling among men. He is presented at the temple 40 days after his mm-hmm. birth. He returns to the temple. Excuse me. He returns to the temple as a 12-year-old boy, and they can't find him. He comes back to the temple and drives away the money changers. And then we have this temple theology as well, that when Jesus is dead on the cross, the curtain in the temple is torn from top to bottom. You know, I think we could probably have a whole sermon series there on the ways that this temple imagery is brought forth, not to mention the fact that we as believers in Jesus Christ are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have a lot of this temple stuff that is going on. But that is not the bulk of this introit. And, you know, we hear the Benedictus that we sing about a third of the time as the canticle with our order of matins. The blessed be the Lord God of Israel. So we have these words coming out of Zechariah's mouth, mm-hmm. Zechariah's prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. I want to say, Pastor, that visit is the incarnation, and redeem, redemption. This is the Good Friday Easter combination. Is that an oversimplification, or is that an accurate way to look at this?
No, that's exactly right. And it is previewed. It is previewed in the Old Testament all the time, because God is constantly visiting His people. This is God who comes to His people, and that is, of course, most definitively seen when he comes in the flesh. And the redemption, He redeems His people of old in the Old Testament as well, and that is definitively and most especially happens cross an empty tomb.
When we properly understand the continual visitation of God to His people and the real presence of Jesus Christ in word and sacrament, what does that say about the importance, the necessity, the reason why Sunday morning worship is so important?
Yeah, because this is where Jesus comes down among His people. God's everywhere. But He has only promised to be in certain places for the good of His people. This locatedness of God is something that really runs through the entire Bible. And it really takes great focus when Jesus takes flesh. And then, of course, it continues. It doesn't end with the taking of flesh, but when Jesus comes to us each and every Sunday morning. And so, if you don't have a theology where Jesus is coming to you on Sunday morning, then really there's not much you can get out of Sunday morning that you can't get from sitting at home or just simply reading your Bible. Not that we should be reading our Bibles, but that should not be the only thing that we do. We gather together where Jesus is present.
And then it shifts the focus from what God is doing and bringing to us to what I offer to God, and worship then becomes primarily what do I do, what do I want, what do I feel, what do I get out of it, rather than God visiting and redeeming His people. We have a lot of stuff more in these words, but we're going to pick them up as we go into our gospel reading next, and it is a repeat. I would just point out a couple of things here to get us ready before we go into our first break. And you, child, this is where you had, Zechariah, he's thanking God, he's praising God, and now that picture where he's got the baby in his arms, he's looking at
His son.
His son, John. They wanted him to be named Zechariah Jr., but his son, John. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. That's where I want to pick up when we come back. What does it mean that Jesus is the that John the Baptist is the prophet of the Most High? Is that the Most High God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Is that the Messiah, Jesus Himself? Is it a combination of the two? How do we look at these words in Zechariah's song? What a beautiful, beautiful song for us to sing anytime, but especially as we are meditating on the person and work of John the Baptist, pointing the way to salvation completed by our Lord and Savior Jesus. This is Proclaiming the One. We're looking at the readings for June 24, the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go away.